Good morning, everyone. My name is Stuart Mizell, and I'm pastor here. It's good to see all of you here, and hopefully the folks who are joining us by online, that they are able to see what's going on with the streaming problems that we were having earlier this morning. We are in the midst of December, and that means Christmas, and that means we're going to be looking at some passages that deal with the birth of Jesus. So I invite you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. If you are, if you would like to follow along on the screen, you can follow along there. If not, you can read on your own Bible or your electronic device, however you would like. I do want to thank the church for allowing me to take some time off during Thanksgiving to go see my mom and my sister. We took the governor's advice and we did some tests before turkey, and we all came back clear, which was great. And then we were able to go see my 83-year-old mom, who has a few health problems, and we were able to do that in good conscience and not worry about whether we were bringing something to her or not. So thanks for letting us do that. And thank you, Nathan, for being here and preaching from God's word last week. Again, today we're starting a new series, Good News, a Great Joy. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. Let's read what God's word has to say from that chapter, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let me pray for us. Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for how you have given us your truth. And mostly we are thankful for how that truth points us to the Lord Jesus. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive and wills that want to do your bidding, your call, your will. Help us, Holy Spirit, to take this passage that many of us maybe even know by heart, and it's so familiar, but help us to know it afresh in a way that we really do understand the good news of great joy. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've all heard those good news, bad news jokes. You know the jokes that I'm talking about, there when someone says the good news is this and the bad news is that. And most of them are corny and silly. The most recent one that I found was a man went to see his doctor. and he was in an acute state of anxiety. He said, "Doctor, you have to help me. I think I'm dying." And the doctor said, "Well, what's going on?" And the man said, "Well, no matter where I touch, it hurts. If I touch my head, it hurts. If I touch my leg, it hurts. If I touch my chest, it hurts. If I touch my head, I've already said that. If I touch my shoulder, it hurts. If I touch my hand, it hurts. No matter where I touch, it hurts." So the doctor gave him a complete examination. And he said, "I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is you are not dying. The bad news is you have a broken finger." Yeah, I know, that's a little corny. But that's the kind of good news you want to hear when you think you're dying, right? We want to hear good news, not bad news. And in 2020, let's just be honest, we've heard a lot of bad news this year. We really need to hear something good, right? And in this passage, we hear something good. We see that Mary and Joseph, they go to Bethlehem because of a kind of government-run census. And while they're there, she gives birth to the child that we know as Jesus. And meanwhile, there are these shepherds nearby, and it's nighttime, and the shepherds are hanging out watching their sheep, and suddenly, in the midst of the darkness and the quiet, an angel breaks through. And they're a little freaked out. And the angel says in verse 10 of this passage, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." All right, we're ready to hear. What is this good news of great joy? And the good news of great joy is found in the next few verses. In verse 11, we see the angel says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the angel tells the shepherds where to find this baby. And then there's a whole bunch of angels just singing and praising God. And they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." This is the good news of great joy. And it's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. We're going to go a little deep dive into what it means to have this good news of great joy that is found in the birth of Jesus. Today, we start with this. It is good news of great joy that Jesus is a Savior. It is good news of great joy that Jesus is a Savior. That's specifically the first thing that the angel says after he says, "I bring you good news of great joy." And what is that good news? There's a Savior born. Here in the city of David, a Savior. Jesus was born to be a Savior who would rescue people, according to this angel, from all over the world, because this is good news for all the people. Right? And you're thinking, "Well, Stuart, that's why we're here. We're all, or at least we know enough about church to know that, of course, that's what we celebrate every December, that Jesus was born. Big deal." Well, it is a big deal because Jesus is not just someone who was born 2,000 years ago that we celebrate every December. He is Savior. The one who saves, the one who rescues. Now, if you listen to this, you may at first think, "Well, wait a second, Jesus was born to be a Savior. Does that mean there's more than one?" Right? You know, because it says a Savior. Doesn't say the Savior. So is he just one of many Saviors? But you got to look at all of Scripture to see that there's more to it than just one phrase, right? Because Jesus is not just a Savior. In fact, Jesus is the only way of salvation. The only way. There is no other way. In Acts 4, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says to people around him about Jesus, there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus himself says something similar in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus isn't just a Savior. He is the Savior, the rescuer, the one who will rescue people from all over the world. Now that we've got that out of the way, the real question is not whether Jesus is a Savior or the Savior. The real question is this. If Jesus is a Savior, what does he save people from? Right? You don't have a Savior without saving someone from something. You know, if someone is getting ready to jump off a cliff and someone grabs them from behind and pulls them away and that person says, oh, you saved me, what they're saying is you kept me from dying, right? You kept me from having a fate that was horrific. So what is it that Jesus saves people from? Well, the good news of great joy is that Jesus is a Savior who saves people from sin and its effects. Jesus is a Savior who saves people from sin and its effects. Now, I know that in our society and in our culture, we don't like to talk about sin. And if we do talk about sin, what we normally do is we say things like, oh, sin is murder. Like, sin is adultery. Sin is stealing. It's outward actions that show some bad things. That's what we think sin is. But in actuality, sin is considerably deeper and much more pervasive a problem than just a few bad actions that we could or may not do. Let me take us back to the beginning. When God created the world, the universe, he created us in his image, male and female. He created us in his image. And that doesn't mean that God looks like Stuart, all right, thankfully. But what it does mean is that there's something about us that is to reflect back to God and reflect to the world around us who God is. Something of his goodness is to be reflected back. And we were created to reflect God's goodness always. But something's happened, right? Something is amiss because we don't reflect God and his goodness. Whenever we don't reflect God's goodness, whether it's by what we do or what we say or what we think or the attitudes that we have inside us, that's sin. Sin is any time we lack conformity to who God is. Have any of you ever been to like a fair and you walked into a fun house and they have those fun house mirrors? You know, like you You look in a mirror and it reflects back what you actually look like, but you look in a funhouse mirror and it's distorted, right? You might be elongated or you might be flattened. You might be really wide. You know, you might look like an hourglass or something. It's just weird the way that mirror distorts the way you look. It's a mangled and warped kind of image. Now, the image is still there. I mean, you can look in there and you can say, yeah, that's me, but there's something not right about it. You've had that experience, right? Well, that's sort of like what we're talking about with God. We are still in the image of God. We were created that way, and we haven't lost the image. But it's like a funhouse mirror now. We've perverted God's image. We've distorted it. It's no longer a clear image of who God is. It's now a misrepresentation of Him. I mean, think about it. The scriptures say that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Now look around in our society today. I'm not even going to ask you to look at yourselves right now. Just look at our society. Do you see graciousness? Do you see compassion? Do you see people being slow to anger? Do you see people being abounding in steadfast love? If you do, that's the image of God coming through. But if you don't see that, if you see people not being gracious, non-compassionate, quick to anger, lacking in steadfast love, that's what the scriptures call sin. And sin is us going against the grain of the way God has created us to be. As one theologian once said, we don't really break God's law when we disobey. We break ourselves on God's law. That's why we sometimes call ourselves broken. And that aspect of sin is bad enough that we were created, part of our major reason for being is to reflect God, and we're messing up on that. That's bad enough, but then you have on top of that the effects of sin. Sin brought misery into the world. And when God first created human beings, when He created Adam and Eve, there was not misery there. It was joy and happiness. Sin brought pain and sickness into the world. When God first created human beings, Adam and Eve, there was no pain. There was no sickness. Sin brought sadness and suffering into our world. At the beginning, it wasn't so. It brought enmity and alienation. Sin brought distrust and discord and fear and brokenness and heartache. That is what sin brings. It always promises something that's joyful, but it always delivers something much, much worse than we would even imagine. That's what sin does. That's the effects of sin. And what this passage is telling us about Jesus is Jesus was born to be a Savior to rescue us from the mess that we're in. Jesus was born to be a perfect, sinless image of God. He, in fact, was God in the flesh, and He reflected God to the Father's goodness back to Him perfectly and back to everyone around Him. All creation could recognize the goodness of God in Jesus. In fact, that's one of the reasons why people wanted Him dead, because they didn't want to deal with that goodness. They wanted to hide in the dark. Jesus was born to offer his perfect, sinless life as a substitute for our sinful, less than perfect life. His goodness for our sin, his death for our life, his suffering for our salvation. And on the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," it was done. That he had taken all of our sins and placed it upon himself. And he had taken it from us as far as the east is from the west. Jesus was not only born to be the perfect sinless image of God, and not just to be to offer his perfect sinless life as a sacrifice, as a substitute for us. He was born to rise from the dead so that in the new life that he had, he was able to give life to everyone who believes. And Jesus was born to return to earth and to do away with sin. And like Paul mentioned earlier today, that sin and its effects will be overrun and destroyed forever. He would establish a new heaven and a new earth where sin, sorrow, pain, and death are felt and feared no more. This is the good news of great joy, my friends. Not only that sins are forgiven, but that we have a promise that whatever sin has done in our lives, one day it will be reversed. That's amazing good news. And no matter what we have suffered because of sin in this life, no matter how difficult and hard, no matter how agonizing it may be, God will reverse the curse of sin. And he will bring about a goodness that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. Jesus is the Savior who saves sinners from not only from their sin, but even from its effects. Now, does he do that in this life? Well, there's a sense in which, yes, he does. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have sin and sorrow and pain in this life, because we do. But what it means is that what we have in part now, what we have in a small measure now, is ours in fullness in the age to come. And nothing in all creation can take that away. Nothing. Not you. Not me. Not what the world around us is trying to do to us. Nothing can take away what God has given us in Christ. Do you see why the angel says this is good news of great joy? It's the kind of thing that even makes a Presbyterian want to sing. And folks, there is no greater gift that we could receive than salvation in Christ. There is no greater gift. This gift of good news, of great joy, there's nothing better than this, this great gift of salvation in Christ. You know, when we think about Christmas, most of us have favorite Christmas memories that we maybe had when we were a child. And I'm no different. I have a very specific Christmas in my youth that really stood out. And it was the one where I had already gotten all my gifts, and my sister and her husband came over to the house. I was probably around 9. and she, and you're thinking, wait, your sister, and you were 9? Yeah, my sister's 12 years older than me. She got married at 17. It's a long story. But she brought with her this big box, you know, wrapped up, and I didn't really pay much attention to it. I just thought, okay, this is my sister. She usually gives me clothes. And I pulled the top off the box, and a little puppy jumped out. And they caught that reaction from my face in a picture that my mom still has, and it's pure joy on my face. I was just so happy to have that dog. I don't think my mom and dad were very happy with the dog. I don't think they were very happy with my sister either. But I was ecstatic about that little puppy. It was like one of the best Christmases I can remember. But I want you to know that when I put that moment beside Jesus, as great as that moment was, it pales in comparison. Because as scriptures say, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life not only that lasts forever, but that is such joyful life that, as Jonathan Edwards once said, it's almost like an ever-expanding joy that never ends. We can't even comprehend that. Think about whatever the greatest gift you ever received in your life, and then put it upside Jesus. And really think about what Jesus has done for you, what Jesus has given you, what Jesus has promised. And you'll see that there is no comparison. What we have in Christ, it just outweighs everything. And that is what we celebrate, not just this time of year, but all the time, because this is good news of great joy. So folks, let's rejoice greatly in this good news that Jesus saves us. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. Will you please help us to find great joy in who he is, in what he has done for us, and what he has promised us. And we ask this, of course, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.